You're on.
Good afternoon to all of you who are here at Bartimaeus Baptist Temple, 6929 Day Street, Dallas, Texas. I am not Larry Thacker, the pastor. I am an associate minister here, but my name is Don Potts, and I'll share with you from God's Word today some of the things that I feel like God's laid on my heart. And first of all, I want to say that I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to do this. I don't do it all the time, so my public speaking ability may be a little bit less than Larry's, but we'll get through this as best we can to understand what God wants us to hear. Amen. This afternoon. If you'll stay with me. For those of you that are tuning in or connecting on the internet and finding us for the first time, we appreciate you, and this is why we do this. We want to go not only here in Pleasant Grove, part of Dallas, but we want to extend our ministry to wherever we can to explain to anyone who would take time to hear us about the good news of Jesus Christ and how He can change your life as he's in the past helped to change mine, and others here that could testify to that. I want to start by saying that I've seen on the internet, and what I mean by internet, I am in a process of going through dialysis right now, kidney dialysis. For anybody who knows about kidney dialysis, have heard about relatives that you might know, friends or whatever, that's going through kidney dialysis. It's a four, counting the time that they connect you to the machine and then take you off the machine, you have 4 hours of dialysis in between. So let's say 4.5 hours. You're committed to a machine that is a artificial kidney. And what your kidneys do is it filters your blood to help you get rid of toxic material that would in otherwise not give you the amount of life that God might have wanted you to have. So anyway, that is one thing. But on Tuesday afternoons at 3:30 to 5 o'clock or 5:30, whenever my wife Brenda gets back home to be with me, she's a bus driver with the Garland School District here in the Dallas area. But anyway, I'm by myself, and I normally have a chance to look on websites like Yahoo for information about stuff. And what I'm finding is, I found one the other day that came out at me and said, 5 historical points challenging the existence of Jesus. Now, that got to me, because I knew that growing up, there was some point in my life where I had to admit that I was a sinner, that I needed Christ in my life, and that the Holy Scriptures that I was taught from, the King James Version of the Bible, it taught me that at some point in my life I had to make a personal decision as to whether I was going to believe that all of this was true, what they were telling me, and what I was reading in the Bible. I was going to have to get to the point where I realized it was true and that it applied to me and others who, at their point in their life, wanted to change. And when I saw that, 5 historical points challenging the existence of Jesus. Now, it did say in the Bible at some point that there was going to be scoffers, people coming, telling you that that they're Christ, even. And I just kind of had it in my head. I knew it was something that was going to happen, but I didn't know how it was going to be presented to either to the masses of people. Now, see another one on here that says Jesus was a socialist. Well, I don't know. He might have been. Christianity in crisis as conservatives rally, or I'm sorry, as conservatives finally realize Jesus was woke. I mean, they're trying to get you to believe in some way that this is all fantasy. Now, Russell Moore, once a prominent figure within the Southern Baptist Convention, and this is a Southern Baptist church that I grew up in, and this one right here that I'm speaking and from is a Southern Baptist church. Okay, Russell Moore, once a prominent figure within the Southern Baptist Convention, has expressed profound concerns regarding the current trajectory of Christianity in the United States. Of course, we knew changes were going to happen. We knew there were going to be people in here. And if you're from a different denomination, anyone hearing me out there, I mean, you were presented Christ in a different way than I probably was. And it just seems like to me that we need to all get together and be unified in some way. And I don't know if that's going to happen before Christ comes back or not, but that's something that we can discuss on another day. Okay, love, compassion, and humility, which are, I guess, the beginnings of what Christ wanted us to be after we gave our lives to Him, comes from the scriptures in Matthew in the New Testament, and it's chapters 5, 6, and 7. It's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount, given by Jesus at the beginning of His earthly 3-year ministry. And we see from that love, compassion, and humility are in there. And it's the constitution that we need to live by for our morals and ethics that we live by each day. The United States has a constitution. They're trying to get Democrats and Republicans, I don't think, are agreeing on exactly how to interpret it to the point that we can get anything accomplished right now. But that's my opinion, and that's another subject sermon for another day. 5 historical truths suggest Jesus Christ may have never existed. And you got people out there that are, I need to let you know, you may not sit down long enough to realize this, but there's people out there that are propagating that. Just like I'm trying to propagate Jesus Christ and His way of living, there are other people that are believing that I'm just as crazy as a duck in the desert. Most antiquities scholars think that the New Testament Gospels are mythologized history. It means they don't believe that it really happened, literally, the way it happened. In other words, based on evidence available, they think that around the start of the first century A.D., a controversial Jewish rabbi named Yeshua ben Joseph gathered a following, and his life and teachings provided the seed that grew into Christianity. Now, when you pick up the Bible, you either got to believe it or not. You got to play like Ripley. Ripley told you to believe it or not when he presented to you what he wanted you to know about. And you make the decision as to whether you do or don't. And that's a decision that's between you and God. Most people at some point in their life will say something like this: I had something happen at some point that caused me to leave the church and abandon my morals and faith in God. Okay, they get to some point in their life where they're having a problem, something that they can't fix by themselves, But yet the same God that they believed at one point in their life, they're turning their back on Him now and thinking that they can either do it by themselves or that God doesn't love them because He's causing them to go through it. And I hope that there's none of us here that would be like that. But the Bible does say that there will be a falling out before Christ comes back. The first chapter of Acts talks about the time when Jesus is fixing to leave this earth. He's on the Mount of Olives. He will leave the earth, and He did. And when He comes back, He'll come back to take His saints with Him. There's two times that He'll come back. One is not necessarily to come all the way to the earth, but it'll be what the Bible calls a rapture in the first, I believe it's somewhere in Timothy where he left Timothy, who was the younger, person that was, I believe beginning his ministry as a bishop in the, church at Ephesus. And he began to tell him some of the things that he thought he needed to know as a younger person at the time that Paul was leaving this earth, before he left this earth. But anyways, it talked about a rapture in there where Jesus would come back and take those who believe in Him with Him back to heaven, and then at some future date would come back and either put His foot on the Mount of Olives where He left, and it would split in two. That's in Zechariah, either chapters 12 or 14, if I remember correctly. All right. Some people feel that they can have a relationship with God without the church. Now, that's another thing I saw on there. I'm just giving you information that I saw that I thought might be helpful to you if you didn't know all of this already. Either from people that are here with me today or out there that have turned to us to get inspiration. Why people are leaving religion in droves. It stopped making sense. I didn't go into detail about what they were meaning by this, but it's another thing that they said. The second thing was putting religion before humanity. Number three, asking questions, getting you in trouble. Number four, lack of evidence supporting the existence of God. Now that's something that I can't do, and you can't do. I don't care how well you think you know philosophy or whatever it would take. We cannot really prove the existence of God, but we can feel a lot of things that the Bible tells us. We can feel, if you have a conscience, you can feel when you've sinned and done things against the law of God, and you can feel that you're just not right with Him. I know I do, and have in the past. When it became about money, number five, they said people left the church because they were talking too much about money. And I have to admit, our clerk is right here looking at me. I'm sorry, but the church has to be in some ways. The money that we give to the church to help support it, to do the ministry that God has called us to do from this address, at this point, at this place in Dallas, Texas, I mean, you have to use it with some type of management. You just can't throw it and frivolously use it. I mean, it is about money to a certain extent. Okay, reading. When the pastor started talking one time to somebody that was going to church who's not going to church now, when a pastor talked to him about reading the Bible more, praying more, or whatever, things they hadn't been doing that they didn't want to change. When things became nasty, and I didn't understand fully what that meant. Nasty could mean out there in the real world, but things began to be nasty would be okay. I mean, when things got to the point where I couldn't control them anymore by myself, I didn't know how God could become a part of my life to help me do that. Manipulation and hypocrisy. Oh man, that's one that's plagued the church for a long time. Nobody fully, 100% lives up to what they believe. I mean, but to say that anybody in here or anybody out there that's listening to me would be a hypocrite, I don't know. That's between you and God. That's another thing you have to work out for yourself. I can't do that for you. I can only account for my life right now. All right, narratives. Anything that anyone has said to us from the Bible. People either believed it or didn't believe it. You can believe, a lot of the things are meant to be taken literal in the Bible. A lot of things are meant to be taken, symbolically, I'll put it that way. They're not meant to really be taken literally. Alright, too many religions. Somebody would say, oh, it's just so many religions, I don't know which one to get involved in. Okay. And I was taught, and I'll tell you, based on what I believe was true about what the Bible says, Christianity is not a religion. It's not anybody trying to do anything on their own to try to receive the favor of God on their life. We must understand that Christianity is a relationship between you and God that must be, individual in nature, but yet the church, as we all are here, the church is together to support us, emotionally and otherwise to help us get through times in our life when we can't, when we need help and can't get through it by ourselves. Lack of critical thinking. I didn't go through that one very much, but it also says scholars publish new papyrus with early sayings of Jesus. Okay, now we're getting to the other side of the coin. People are saying that there's no Jesus, that it's not real. He wasn't the Son of God. He couldn't have been born to a lady that didn't have relationships with an earthly man, which is a virgin. If you haven't had relationships with an earthly man yet, you're still a virgin if you're a woman. All right. But they said they have found new papyrus with early sayings of Jesus. And they're believing, I'm believing, that whatever is on there would correspond or would be the same that I would find if I picked up a Bible and read it myself out of there. Here's a good one. Introducing the man who thinks he's the real Jesus. Okay? There is the Bible. The Bible does say that there'll be a last days right before Christ comes back himself, that there will be people who will think that they're Jesus and try to present themselves as Jesus. Four American values that are slowly fading away. Religion, and that's what anybody wants to think it is. I mean, it could be my religion is my relationship with Jesus Christ as far as living by the precepts of the Bible. Patriotism, and I do believe that we're fighting, Republicans and Democrats are fighting to not have as much patriotism as there used to be, and you do know people are not having as many children as they used to be for some reason. They just don't want to accept their responsibility, I guess, with what it takes to raise a child to maturity. And community involvement. So, I mean, people used to be more active in the community, to help each other and to do other things that they're not doing now. So I just found all this. I just found all of this on the internet, and I just wanted to share it with you. 12 common concepts about what is actually in the Bible. And you got people that are walking around right now trying to tell you that the Bible's not the Word of God. The Bible's not going to tell you the only way to get to heaven. Oh, and by the way, John 14:6, which we studied about last Sunday, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. And that was Jesus Christ himself who said that. And it was recorded in the Bible by the Apostle John. God helps those who help themselves was one thing I found. And that, I do believe that, but I believe that God has helped many a person who didn't even know that God existed until he got to that point in his life where he realized he needed God. The depiction of hell is another one that people they don't agree with. People try to make hell to be a lot less terrorsome than what it is. I mean, the Bible says that hell was made for the devil and his angels. And you know, the devil, I found out this morning listening to another minister before I came here this afternoon, I guess Satan was the choir director. He said the choir director in heaven of all the angels that were there to worship God. Okay? And when he rebelled against God, this is where God allowed him to go, to a place called hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And another thing he said, if you die today without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, which I do believe each person needs to have, you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. It said that if you died today without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you would go to hell before the devil does. Because the devil is right now, as we speak, he's roaming around the earth, and in one of the books, I can't remember exactly where in the New Testament, but it says it's seeking people whom he may devour. So we see that from that depiction of hell, people are not necessarily believing everything that the Bible has to tell us about hell. Okay, number of animals that went into the ark. That's simple. You just got to go back to Old Testament history and see. People are not wanting to believe because they say there was it wasn't presented to them in the correct way or whatever. It says seven clean and two unclean, I believe. And that's what I believe from the book of Genesis. All right, Adam and Eve bit into an apple. I know you've heard that 100,000 times. No, they bit into what was called by God unforbidden fruit. Do not eat of this tree, or the fruit that comes from this tree, or get close enough to this tree, or whatever you want to say. Golly, just read the Bible and believe it. And angels. Angels are... People have different concepts about angels. Angels are ministering spirits. They're actually there to do the bidding of God. Whatever God says or tells them to do, then that's what they do. All right. I just want to leave you with thoughts. If you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let's get committed to reading the Bible more, praying more, and really strengthening our relationship with God if we have one. and Jesus Christ is his son. It says he's the physical part of who God is. In the book of John, it says that Jesus is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is the physical part of God, and the Holy Spirit is the one who actually comes into our lives to begin to give us the ability to change the way God would want us to be after we ask him to, and after we ask him to come into our lives. I pray that each of you have listened and given me the ability, given me the opportunity to speak this afternoon. But for those of you out there who do not know Jesus, you may or may not pick up the Bible and think of it as truth, but that's the way I was taught, and I believe that it doesn't make any difference. You've got so many people telling you to go different ways with your life, but believe the Bible, read it, understand it, live by it, and God will in some way present himself to you, and he will help you to change in areas that you need to. If you need this church or any other church that may be close enough to you, I pray that the Lord would lead you to that church, and that they would help you to become the person that God would want you to be as you give your life to him and allow him to begin to make the changes in your life that you need to. Dear Lord, we're thankful for this afternoon and for what we've heard and seen. We're thankful for everything and everybody that's here. But for those who are out there, maybe catching on to the internet and hearing this for the first time, we pray that they would understand that these are just things that I was feeling like that was going to happen. And I didn't know exactly how to share, but it was just things that I saw on yahoo.com. And we pray that as we read these things, we'll understand that they may or may not be literally happening the way they try to get us to understand that they are, but that your word says that certain things are going to happen before you come back. There will be a falling away of Christians, and I hope and pray that none of us would be in that category. Hope and pray that we would get to the point where we want to have a more serious relationship with you, those of us who claim to be Christians. And we pray that as we do, we'll understand that we just can't do it by ourselves. We need help. We need your Holy Spirit inside of us, giving us the motivation, giving us the ability to find time to spend with you alone and to learn all that we can before we leave this earth or try to help others to go to heaven with us as we help them to try to change their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.